It's the My Michelle Live podcast.
My Michelle Live, entertainment review. Roll out the red carpet. Here's Michelle.
Exactly.
That's a lot of music, Michelle.
I know. I like it, though. It gives me, that's a one time during the week where I really get that red carpet. I would love it if you, there's two things about movies and the movie magic that I would like. Wouldn't it be fun once in a while to just have a red carpet there? Just once in a while. Just like, Michelle's here. Oh, there's the phone. And as he's getting the phone, the other thing is that it would have been really nice if God made life like the movies did, where if I'm walking towards my car and I hear ominous music, you know, I'll know. Okay. And I decide, well, maybe I'll walk the other direction. And then the music changes. That would be really nice if the world did that.
Directional music feels like it. God, I don't need to know your will step by step, but if you could just give me major key music, I'll keep walking that way. Minor key, especially if there are strings involved, I'm out. I'm just
right. It would be a lot easier than relying on prayer and the Holy Spirit and all of that. Sure, Adam, put it in perspective, ladies and gentlemen. Adam Holmes.
I'm pretty cool. Plugging you into the movies, this is Adam Holmes.
Yeah, it's that time. During the week, we take some time with Adam Holt for our review of what's going on in the movies. Plugged In is a really great resource because they don't just review movies and say what they think about the movies. They give you what the movie is, elements of the movies that maybe aren't your bag. You know, if it's spiritual issues that you don't want to go with, language, sex, and other key elements, they'll do that, but not just for movies. They will actually take on television shows, YouTube videos, books, video games, music, pop culture right there. And it's great for not just parents, but Adam, you have saved me. I've told this story a million times. You've saved me lots of money from going to the movies.
Yeah, well, I can give you my address and you can send me, you know, small, unmarked, non-sequential bills. I think that's what they ask for in the movies, right? No,
there you go. I was just going to send you the popcorn that I did.
Okay, well, that works too.
Well, Adam, it's good to talk with you. And here we are at another week. We had a lot of big neat things that we could watch for Easter. We're past that now, and we're getting into solid hardcore spring movies, but there's not a lot out there. Now we'll pull out some things that you might want to see, but there's not a lot out there.
There isn't a lot out there. One that kind of quietly snuck online last week that I want to make your viewers aware of is Roe v. Wade. And this is a movie that tells the story of this landmark decision, really from the perspective of arguably the most influential abortion doc in the entire history of this story. One of the two guys in New York that helped to legalize it. And he later becomes a Christian and wrote a book about that whole story. And so this was a movie that experienced tremendous resistance and controversy during filming. There were places that when they found out they were filming it there, they kicked them out. You'll find our full review
for that. Because free speech is just so yesterday.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's free speech for me, but not for thee, unfortunately. It seems like, you know, it's free speech if you're towing the, you know, the line of ideas that are politically correct and acceptable today. And if not, you're not.
I agree with that. But, you know, it's a good lesson because that's happened an awful lot. Now, we're faith people, you and I.
Yeah.
It has happened a lot in the world of faith. You know, your opinion doesn't matter because thus saith the Lord. And, you know, so that cancel culture isn't necessarily new. It's just rebranded right now. It's the same sin, different day.
And here, and I haven't had this thought until just now, but because I'm pretty cool, I actually really like this thought that I just had. Wasn't Jesus the first person to get canceled? I mean, honestly, isn't that what they tried to do to him? He spoke truth that the religious hierarchy couldn't deal with, and they framed him and executed him. And obviously he got the last laugh because he came back. I've never had that thought until honestly right this very moment. And so as Christians, I don't think we should be surprised when people take offense at our message. And, you know, Paul said, don't be surprised when people hate you. Jesus said in John 16, there'll be a time when people will think they are offering a service to God by killing you. Now, we're not at that place yet, as annoying and difficult and frustrating as our cancel culture can be, but I don't think we should be surprised given what happened to the folks in Scripture. You know, Peter and Jesus and John, well, John ended up on the Isle of Patmos, and Paul and several of the other disciples historically they were all executed for their faith. So anyway,
that's the ultimate in cancel culture right there. The ultimate in cancel culture. So
no, that's cancel culture, right?
So don't be dismayed if you are canceled, because you know a greater people have been canceled before. So I just keep
and we're called to be faithful, right, Michelle? I mean, that's our response is to love people. Our calling.
There you go. Yeah.
We actually have a hope that transcends the political ideas of the moment. We have something bigger that we're living for. We have a gospel that's good news. I'm gonna preach now. Warming up. So we shouldn't be surprised when that happened, but to actually circle back to this movie, I think if you're interested in a peek behind the screen, behind the scenes, behind the curtain, that's the phrase I was looking for, about what happened in the days leading up to Roe v. Wade, this is a pretty interesting movie. There are some fairly graphic images of abortion, as you might expect in a movie dealing with this subject. So you'll definitely want to check out our full pluggedin.com before you stream this one. But it's worth the time.
Well, and that's really no matter where you are on the spectrum of the debate on abortion, it's important especially if you consider yourself pro-choice, to understand the whole system.
Yeah.
Understand every part of it, because then you're really making a choice. If it's informed choice, it's not a choice.
Right. The thing that I found really interesting, and obviously I'm sure there are some on the left would say this whole thing is propaganda and not trustworthy. is it's basically two guys who quote each other and use each other as sources and get the media involved. And it shows how important the involvement of the media is. And then one of them, the doctor just makes up statistics and he pulls them out of thin air, but nobody fact checks him. And they end up as a part of the debate. Well, everybody knows that, you know, there were a million back alley abortions and 10,000 people died. I forget what the numbers were, but he makes up a number about the number of abortions and how many people died in that, pull it out of thin air. And this is the doctor who eventually became a Christian. So he's a pretty credible voice here. And I found that really interesting. And the other thing that was interesting is just the influence of a couple of people, that it doesn't take a lot of voices to have an incredible impact on society. And we see how these two men, for different reasons, really impacted this debate.
I love that. It gets us thinking. So, you know, when we talk about movies, it isn't just about what entertains us. Sometimes it is about what gets us thinking. We're visual now in our society. Back in the day, it used to all be, you know, by stories. Stories were told and retold, and that's how we have stories from history, but we're very visual now. This is a way to get a little more insight because, man, I think it's great. Challenge your beliefs. You know, we'll get letters from people who aren't of the same faith as me, and they challenge me. Good for you. Please do that.
Yes.
I'm not here to hate on you or say, you know, you can't think how you think. Challenge me. Even the Bible uniquely will say, hey, come, let us reason together. Test me, try me, prove me. You hear phrases like that. God says, basically, God, if I were to write a translation, a Michelle translation of the Bible, God saying,
I would read that.
Bring it, right? Just say it. And so it's okay. And so on the abortion issue, I want to see everything. I want to look at everything. Yeah. I want to hear about the stories of people through rape, incest, the hard things that you're going through, because that really does matter. And too often in a Christian cancel culture, it's like, well, we don't want to hear that. It's just, you matter. Your story matters. And in the midst of that, there is a God story. Something else, a God story, is a girl who believes in miracles. The girl who believes in miracles. That's another God story. You know, hey, Easter's over, but we're still celebrating here with Adam and I.
It's always miracle season when you're dealing with God, right? Have you had a chance to see this one, Michelle?
No, I have not yet.
So this is a really sweet-hearted and yet bittersweet movie that kind of poses a thought experiment, if you will. So this girl hears about, if anyone has the faith of a mustard seed, they can move mountains. And she takes this message from scripture at its word. And she, the first time she sees a bird die, and she goes and picks up the bird and prays for the bird to come back to life. And it does.
Yeah.
And then she sees a dog being hit by a car, and same thing happens. And at first, people are looking for naturalistic explanations, like, maybe the bird was just stunned and its heart had slowed down. You know, sort of like the Red Sea was shallow and the wind was blowing just right and it blew apart in the Red Sea. You know, we want to explain things. But then she prays for a friend who is paralyzed and he is healed. And the word begins to get out that this little girl is a faith healer, and she cures a girl with cancer. But it's almost as if her power is being drained. And here's where, you know, theologically, you sort of say, all right, we're in slightly odd territory here. I'm going to give this film credit for its heart. I'm not necessarily going to take it as dogma what it's saying here. But
from what I've seen, it is entertainment. It makes it apparent. It's not trying to be preachy. It's not trying to tell you what to think. It's just taking it, and it doesn't, from what I see, mm-hmm. not having seen it all, doesn't necessarily come out as a faith film necessarily. It's more for entertainment value. Now, would that be a fair assessment?
At the risk of sounding like I'm throwing you under the bus, no.
Okay.
Let's just say
I haven't seen it. So
Jesus shows up quite literally at the end of the movie. So it's a you can't miss the Jesus element here, because the little girl is getting sicker and sicker and sicker, and you can connect the dots on that trajectory.
Okay.
So she's not healed even as she's able to heal others. And so I think it begs interesting questions as a conversation starter. Why does God answer some prayers? Why sometimes we've all heard stories of people who are miraculously healed.
And others where they're not.
Others are not. And what do we do with that? And I think what this story says is we actually have a hope in Christ that is bigger than the question of whether somebody is healed here and now or not. And so in some ways, I think it reframes the entire conversation in a way that if you want to pick theological nits, you can do it with this film. But if you want to use it as a jumping off point for a conversation, I think it does that well. I actually saw it about a year ago. COVID, I think, delayed its release.
Ah, okay.
And I watched it with my nine and 11-year-old daughters, and they loved this movie.
They
loved it. My daughter for months is like, is it out on DVD yet? Can we watch it again? So I think especially for younger girls. It really is an engaging story. And the the young woman who plays the little girl here, she's just delightful. And her faith is delightful. And let's face it, we need more delightful things in our culture right now.
So, we could definitely use that. We talked a little bit about it last week, but I think it is a film worth repeating. I wanted to move to some Disney films. We've got Mighty Ducks. We've got Falcon and the Winter Soldier, both of which I've been following, and both of which I enjoy. Falcon, we'll start with that one, since we went from delightful and maybe more family friendly. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, maybe not. There may be some family elements that you want to look into. Now, the human interest or the human side of these superheroes makes it very funny and relatable. The storyline is good. It's well done. It feels so short, you know, every week. But there are, for your families, some elements of language, definitely violence, that you want to be aware of.
Yeah, it's definitely, I would say, of a piece with Marvel's PG-13 movies. So I don't think it's hugely worse, but it's not better either. I mean, when WandaVision came out, the first 5 or 6 episodes were actually super clean. And then it took this extraordinarily dark turn in the last 2 episodes. Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I always want to call it the Winter Snowman. It's, you know, like you said, there's violence and profanity at a PG-13 level. It's not, you know, R-rated stuff, but it's also stuff that you probably don't want to watch with small kids because of that content.
But let's talk about some of the positive elements, though, too, because we're not just talking to parents with kids. there are full-grown adults who are saying, okay, I don't have kids at home. I may want to see this. And yet we care about what we're putting into our brains, our psyches. We care about, you know, how we're spending our time. And if I haven't seen it, I want to know, is it worth a see? And I say there are some really, I love the element of the conflict between Falcon and the Winter Soldier, how they choose to work together. There's a tension there. There's even a counseling session, no kidding, that just cracked me up. But in that, you see how you can make choices to get along and work with people, even if you don't agree. People, I know it's a new concept,
right?
Maybe one worth revisiting, right?
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think that it's got the kind of positive thematic elements that we've seen in really all of these Marvel films. there is a redemptive message. You know, it's not dark for darkness' sake. Like, I think if I have a criticism of some of the DC universe movies, I'm like, you're more interested in being edgy than actually telling a heroic story. You want to see how far you can push us into the darkness, as opposed to telling a story that may have some grit to it, but ultimately is moving in a redemptive direction, which I feel like Falcon and the Winter Soldier does that.
I think we have developed over the years an Adam and Michelle measure of darkness, and it really does have to do with, you can go to very dark places in a film.
Yep.
And it does bring a film to a heavy, dark place. But if you have that redemptive message, you have that it makes it worthwhile. In fact, it makes that darkness so much more important because you've been delivered in the film, if you will, from so much. And in these Marvel shows, you also see another side. And this has been a theme for a lot of films, where you see the other side of the bad people. Back in the day, we would have the bad guy was just evil personified.
Right.
He
had the evil laugh, and that was about it.
That was it. Right? That's it. Yeah.
His finger was on the button, like the James Bond villains, you know. there wasn't much complexity in old school James Bond villains, you know.
And now we have Maleficent, we have you know, some of these other bad guys, and even in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the bad people there, you're seeing maybe there's, you know, there's more to the story. What I like about that brings it back to the God story for me too, Adam, mm-hmm. in that our fight is not against flesh and blood.
Right.
You know, we make people the enemy, but there are powers and there's darkness, there's dark ideas, there's just plain sin that knows no color of a person's skin, political yep. affiliation, or church membership, that makes that is the real enemy. People aren't the enemy. I see that. Maybe I'm digging deep. Maybe I'm Paul Acing it, but which, you know, is a friend of ours who also
yes,
reviews movies.
He's on the Plugged In staff, and I will let him know that Michelle has turned him into a verb.
Dude, he knows. You know, we talk about how he can spiritualize burnt toast. It's true, man. It is true. But and I love that. That's what we need to do sometimes in our films, is to be able to pull out some meaning.
Well, and let me do that even in a level that I'm sure some of your podcast viewers and listeners are familiar with. Some aren't. I'm not going to remember their names because I'm not a scholar on this, but the guys who created Superman were both Jewish, and they were trying to reimagine a Moses-like character for the modern age. So even from the beginning, or close to the beginning, I'm not sure if Superman was the very first superhero, but this entire genre was built on the idea of a godlike character and our need for a godlike character in our lives. And I think part of the appeal of superhero movies is there's something transcendent there. I'm going to Paul AC it now. You know, there is a desire for deliverance. There's a desire for protection. There's a desire to know that somebody is in control, that the buck stops somewhere. And that, you know, at the end of the day, at least in old school Superman showed up to save you, you know, and he was omnipotent. He was faster than a speeding bullet and could leap tall buildings in a single bound. I mean, we're talking about qualities of omnipotence, and we long to know that somebody has it, that somebody has our back. And so this whole genre really flowed from that idea, and it's gone a lot of directions since then, and a lot of those directions are, as we have mentioned, much darker than that, but that was its inception, and I think that's pretty interesting.
It is. It shows that in our mind we have what science is called a God spot, you know, this
right.
need for something bigger. And that's true. But what I do see in the Marvel universe is that reminder that DC, we've talked about this before, DC versus Marvel. DC, not so much, because they are these perfect, supposedly perfect, you know, beings,
yeah.
these demigods that are just perfect, where in Marvel, they're humans who their humanity shows. Why that's important is back to what we were saying, is that that God story reminds us maybe there is just one God. Just some food for thought as we talk about. I want to get to Mighty Ducks. And about this time in our interview, we talk about what to watch and what to maybe back away from. My what to watch, I really am enjoying Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. Tell me why. And it's Game Changers, right? And it's a new series on Disney Plus.
It is. It's, you know, it's a lot of the same kind of story where we see in Mighty Ducks in back in the 90s, where it was a bunch of underdog kids that are overlooked, maybe even bullied and marginalized, who are the loser team. And then you have this perfect, you know, they're so organized, almost militaristic, you know, pretty team. Popular, mm-hmm. of course, as well. But this time it is switched up a little bit because of all that Gordon Bombay did with the Mighty Ducks back in the day. Now it's the Mighty Ducks that are the cool kids.
They actually are Mighty Ducks now.
They are Mighty Ducks now. So Gordon Bombay is kind of a washed up, you know, reclusive guy that owns a kind of barely hanging in their ice rink and says he doesn't want to have anything to do with hockey. And this mom of a kid that was kicked off the Mighty Ducks team because he just didn't have it said, you know what? We are the don't bothers. You know, he said, don't bother playing anymore. You're not good. She said, okay, we'll start our own league. And she does. Mm-hmm. And so there they are. And we're watching this development. You know, eventually Gordon Bombay is going to come in and stop saying, I hate hockey. Go away, kid. You're bothering me. And it's going to come together. It's sweet. It's fun. It's wholesome. And I have truly enjoyed it.
And most importantly, it has Emilio Estevez, whom we haven't seen practically since the Mighty Ducks in 1991. Like, can you even name an Emilio Estevez movie in the last 20 years? Because I can't. I'm sure there's one, but I don't know what it is.
I mean, well, yeah, no. Repo Man was the last thing I remember seeing him in.
And that was a minute ago, right?
Yeah.
That's like 1989, you know?
Yeah, you know, and what is it? This is kind of interesting where we're seeing a reprise of old things with the same people coming up. We're seeing that with Cobra Kai, which aside from some language and some sexual situations, innuendos, I would say more innuendos.
It's very much innuendo territory.
Which you might be sensitive to for your family. It in essence, that has been a fun series to watch, and they are bringing back everybody that they can find.
Everybody. I mean, you know, holy cow, don't even get me started on
even if they're not living anymore, you'll see scenes with them.
Right. Grand Moff Tarkin comes back, Peter Cushing. So I did look it up. Repo Man was 1984. I was like 5 years. So that, but you can skip Repo Man, honestly. That one, of all the films made in 1984, that was one of them. So yeah, Mighty Ducks back on task here. Game Changers. It's a great, I think, reinvigoration of this franchise, and it flips it. And it's got the woman from that one show with the two, I'm totally blanking. She was on Parenthood.
She was in Gilmore Girls. She was in The Pacifier with The Rock. That was a good movie. I liked that movie. I can watch that movie a couple of times, you know, maybe once a year. And her name escapes me too. We're professionals.
Her name is Lauren Graham.
You looked it up, Lauren, didn't you?
Yeah, no, I did. I
and thank God for Google. People, we're professionals, don't try this at home, right?
Right. You know, my brain, this one right here, is almost 51, and some of the files have been moth-eaten, like around the bottom, and I go to reach for what's in the file. And
dude, you know what? It's just that you've been around a while. Your hard drive gets full, right? Sometimes you delete a few files that don't matter. It happens, right?
I need to, you know, this is a tangent, but it's sort of media related. Who knows where my brain will be at the end, but there are thousands of songs, even if I can't recognize my family, that will probably still be in there, right? Because and I'm making a joke, but I'm not, because that's what pop culture does, right? The images, the ideas, the things that we love, they kind of move into our brains, and they move into our hearts too. They influence us, and they exercise, you know, that role. We have some friends that are married, and he's a lot older than she is, like almost different generations. And my wife and I are like, well, how's that work? You don't even share the same music, you know? Whereas, you know, when we are cooking and making dinner, we'll turn our favorite 80s channel on and just jam out to 80s music. And kids actually don't know there is any music after the 1980s. But
well, then you're raising
the other night
right
when my 10-year-old was singing Love Shack, I'm like, oh, maybe we pick something else, right? But that's just a little real world glimpse into our world.
I love it. Real quick, I can see that our next interview is a little bit early there. If you're there, we're going to get to you in just a second. But I want to get your pick of the week, Adam.
You know, my pick of the week, and we've talked about it before, but it's back, is The Chosen. This is a series by Dallas Jenkins, and season 2 just launched on Sunday night. You can find it on The Chosen app. I believe it's on VidAngel. I think season 1 is on YouTube now as well. So there are multiple ways that you can get a hold of it. But this is telling the Jesus story from the perspective of people around him. It's remarkable. And it's gritty at points in ways that might be, if not shocking, it's like, oh, never thought about that before.
Okay.
But I really think it's one of the things being created right now that is absolutely worth your time. So
excellent. All right. Chosen. I'm going to check into it because everybody's saying watch Chosen. So that's my homework for the week.
Plus me.
Adam, it's always a pleasure. You know, it's like you're heralding. It's getting there. The weekend's coming. The weekend's coming. I love it. We're getting you plugged in.
I'm pretty cool. Plugging you into the movies, this is Adam Holm.
Thanks, Adam. We'll catch you next week.
Sounds great, Michelle. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us for this entertainment review show. Remember to like it and share it to this My Michelle Life thing because, you know, it gets people to think, at least that's the goal, about listening to something other than the voices we choose to surround ourselves with. It encourages us to look even deeper for the truth and the God story. So visit MyMichelleLive.com. Like us, share us.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.